Good day, everybody. I hope I'm, well, you can hear me. And if I start mumbling a bit more, please remind me of it. I'm Jos Weijers. I'm a member of Tool. Does that work? That works. I'm a member of Tool Amsterdam. I'm the current two-time over impressioning champion of the Netherlands. I'm the German Meister current. And that's actually a big deal because I'm the second non-German. I'm the second non-German who ever won that. And, well, that's a big deal. And I'm the current world record holder, on impressioning. Thank you. Impressioning, that's what it's all about. We're going to impression keys. And what is that actually? Impressioning, key impressioning is filing a blank uncut key to a working key without any prior knowledge of the binding of the lock. That's basically it. That's what we're going to try. That's why I have this setup. It will include a demo and I try stuff with a microscope. I hope that works so you can actually see what I should be seeing. Okay. That's wrong. Okay. Is this a new thing? Well, actually, it's not. Because this guy, Edward Tickle, used this technique in the end 70s for FBI Black Ops. For Black Ops. One of the stories is that they had to go into a building that they obviously did not have a key for, otherwise he would be done. And what the feds did, they put a big cardboard next to the door with a hole in it and add in the cardboard. So he start impressioning through the hole and he end up with a working key. The fun part, the neat part of impressioning opposed to lockpicking is that when you're done, you don't only have a open lock, but you have a key, which you can give to another operator who is probably not that efficient in lockpicking or impressioning. But that doesn't matter because he knows how to operate a key. That was a bad B joke. Well, if anybody knows this guy, I'd like to hook up with him because I'd really like to pick his brain. But, up till now, we didn't find anything about it besides a documentary and that I really didn't want to show you guys because it is in English, but it's dubbed over in German. So if I redub that to English, that's going to be crap. Okay. So, in the end 70s, it was used in the field, and the lockpick community didn't really, I didn't even know if there was a active community at that time. But a couple of years ago, a member of SSDEF, which is Tool in German, basically, he spent quite a number of months investigating this technique, and he wrote a book on it. So he literally wrote the book on it. This is the German cover. There is an English version. And that was Oliver Dietrichsen, and he won the championships a couple of times. So yeah, he knows what he's talking about. And that's the URL where you can order his book. He printed it. It's a print on demand thing, so I don't think it can be ordered anywhere else than there. It has very, very explainer, very clear pictures of it, and if you go through that, then you'll know what actually impressioning is. Because initially when I've seen people do it, and I was like, I don't know what they're doing, but well, in the end they have a working key. After I read this book, and well, mainly looked at the pictures, because that's where the most info is, then you do know, that's what I'm looking for. And I hope to get a tiny bit of this body of knowledge over to you guys today. And the book has even pictures from the Kriminaltechnische Prüflabor. That's German for CSI. So they actually gave pictures up for... And you probably now haven't got a clue what you're looking at, but maybe afterwards that's going to be more explained. Okay. The question is, how long can I stand in front of your server room or the server room from your company or whatever without being questioned, stopped, or arrested, or whatever. That probably will not happen within 2 seconds. Will that happen within 1 minute? Depends where you work. Well, 10 minutes? I think if I can spend 10 minutes at your server room door, then you have other problems. But the neat thing about impressioning is that if the answer to this question is either A or B, you're fucked. Because I'm not saying that I can pression any key in a minute. I mean, I've done it before, but that does not mean I can do it on a drop of the hat. But 2 seconds is enough for one little step in impressioning. And in contrary to lock picking, where you can open your lock and be done with it, you can't half open a lock, but you can't half impression a lock. You can stop and return later. A friend of mine, he's a pen tester, and he worked at a building with several levels, and he worked at 5, so he was allowed in 5. He was not allowed in 6. If you wanted to go to 6, you needed a key to override the elevator. So he took a blank key into his office, and every time he happened to be alone in the elevator, so that's in the morning or not, he did his tiny little impression thing and worked on that key, and in less than 2 weeks' time, he had a working key and could go to 6th level. That's kind of neat. So how does that actually happen? Well, first, if you want to know how to impression, you have to know how a lock works. Well, there have been a number of security conferences and hacker conferences where lock picking is explained, and probably a lot of you even tried it. So I'm going to go over it very quick, because we need that basic info in order to understand impressioning. Well, this is a Euro cylinder lock, and me being from Europe and this being a European lock, it's configured the European way. For the bulk of this crowd, that would be upside down. Whoa. That's correct. We're all aware of that fact. But thanks, buddy. You're late. He's actually the first guy, the first non-German who actually, well, he's the first non-German who ever won that the German Meistership. So he's the first one. That one. And the lights go out. So, back again, Euroconfig, Europrofile. So, all these initial pictures are for the most of this crowd upside down. But, it's the same. lost for words here, sorry. If we look at a schematic view of a lock, you see a big round yellow thing that actually needs to turn, and if it turns, we call it open. But for some reason, it doesn't, and you see a metal bit, which is colored red in this picture, that probably has something to do with it. But we can't really tell that much now, so we go one layer deeper. These schematics are actually done by Deviant, and, I, with permission, nicked them. And I like to use them because they're very clear, they're very informative, and I can't draw for shit. So, this picture, you see a bit more material in the red, and there is a blue piece of metal in play all of a sudden, and there's a spring underneath it. And we can now see why the yellow bit can't turn, because there's blue stuff in the way. There you go. So it's in the way. So if we have a means of getting that out of the way, and I wouldn't mind if that happened now, then you can actually open the lock. No rocket science at this point. But normally a lock has more than one pin stack. 5 is a very used number. 6, 7, 15, everything's possible. It depends what you're willing to pay and, basically that. To open this in a way that all 5 pin stacks are at the correct height, you need a special customized tool that we call a key. And then it can turn, because all the blue, where the blue stops and the red begins, that's exactly on the shear line, so the big yellow thing can turn. If you put the wrong key in there, you see that the fifth is now too deep, and now it's too high, and it won't turn. In the perfect world, if you put nothing in there and try to turn your cylinder, then it won't open, like we all know. And that won't open because there's several black, blue bits of pieces preventing it. But we're not in a perfect world. We use stuff like this. I mean, cylinder gets drilled in a machine that's mass produced. Drills, they have wear and tear. They're not aligned correctly. Pins, well, these are actually from Korea and they're really crap. But I mean, that's just to get the idea. I mean, there's tolerances, and they're never the same. So why is that useful? Because you can't really make a perfect lock, and even if you could, it would have been way too expensive and not that useful. I mean, for a normal lock to operate, that's enough for most people. So what we try to envision is, you see that the five dots on the left side, that's actually up for you. So that if you turn it, that actually not five of these blue bits are preventing it from turning, but one of the blue bits is the first to prevent it from turning. So if I would be able to take the second pin stack and put it down to the correct level, then another blue bit would be preventing it. So basically, we try to look at a five-pin lock as five locks concerning just containing one pin stack. And that's basically because it's not turning because the blue bits is in the way, and if we do. Yes. Sorry. Yeah. Because if we do put that pin stack down, then the cylinder will turn just a very slight angle and until the next blue bit starts preventing it from turning. But the neat part is that now this blue bit won't be pushed back by the spring because there's bits of yellow in the way. So that's cool. So what we can do with that is picking a lock. After this is done with lock picking, we're going to impression. So you're going to feel and wiggle and to see which bits are have more, give less of a, sorry, have a different give than the other ones. So you can feel which is stuck and which it isn't, and that's lock picking. You can use basic tools for that. You can get a bit of lockpick village. And, well, cool stuff. So this is lock picking. And it also works on different keys, because this is still pin stacks. It's the same, just they're arranged in a different way. Now, let's skip that. Does it want to skip that? That's not me, is it? Impressioning. Come on. There you go. Impressioning. Well, now you see that's in non-European config all of a sudden, because that's the way I like to impression. It's not that I was too lazy to flip the picture. No, I'm not. Well, I am that lazy, but in this case, this is the way I like to impression. And because this, if I mount the key the lock like that, that takes about 4 seconds off of my opening time. And during some competitions, 4 seconds is a lot. Yes. Because what you do with impressioning is you start off with a non-cut blank. So the same blank that would be hang at a locksmith that you need several of. But the one thing is the key has to fit into the lock. Not turn it, because that would be a key. But then you're done. Not used to yelling. So what you do now is, if you apply the same that we learned during the lock picking bit, if you turn this lock, it won't open because there's a bit in the way. Because we now have filled up the whole space where the key belongs. It's no longer the blue parts, but the red parts. But the idea is the same. But now, because there's a big chunk of metal where your key is supposed to be, you can turn it left and right. So now it's one bit in the way, but if you turn the other way, hopefully it's another. So we have two places where pins are preventing the lock from turning. And that's good. Yep. Because if we turn it ever so slightly and try to wiggle the key up or down, and you don't have that much give, but I mean, you can move it a bit. Because if it would fit perfectly, there's no way you can get your key in. I mean, especially not after a few drinks. So there is a give. So if you look at this picture, and once in a while it moves, then you see that the pins that are not stuck, they just get moved up and down, because the only thing that's holding them down is the springs and gravity. And the other two, so now it's the pin 2 and now it's the pin 4, they get stuck. So if you put a key under it and apply some force, you're pushing at a point. Now, if you take it out and examine it very closely, I mean, with microscope or magnifier, special lights or normal light, then you might, if you're lucky, see little scratches, dents, impressioning marks on that blank. And I'm not sure if you can all see it, but you see there that it's two bits have been drawn. Is this viewable for anyone? Okay, cool. So you're looking for very tiny marks, and the first time you see them doesn't make sense, but eventually you get used to to recognize them. So what we do then, at that spot where we see marks, we take away a bit of material. The key is a bit, and key was not pun intended. It wasn't. Because if you know your brand of lock, then you know what the normal key depths, what the possible key depths are. And you can start off with the highest in this config, the highest possible biting. If you file your key off to that biting, then you know you have to go one step down. And that speeds up the process considerably. In Europe, all the impressioning games are currently done on a particular Abus cylinder. So we know that lock. We know what steps are. And we develop muscle memory for just that lock. So if I have to impression an American lock that I haven't tried yet, I probably won't be that fast. But, well, I know the technique, so we'll see what happens. So that's not a working key at all. So it's rinse and repeat. So we do that again. So go left, go right, and there's a mark at the valleys we just created. So we're going to take even more off. Yes. There's probably something in the way somewhere, because this is silly. Yes, so we make it even deeper. Well, you guess what's going to happen now. We're going to do it again. But if you look at the fourth pin, and we start normally counting from the shoulder to the nose, that pin is on the correct height, which means that if we turn this lock and consider the lock as not one lock with five pins, but five locks with one pin, then lock number 4 is open already. That would turn. So you probably can't feel it when you turn it, but it does turn a bit further, because that one was preventing it from locking, and now it's another one. That'll stay in place. So if you start wiggling now, on pin number 2, there'll still be a mark, because that was the first one preventing it from turning. But at the number 4 is now out of play. So another position will start giving dents, because that's the one that's correct. So other places there we dents. And in the end, you will come up with a awful looking thing like this, but that's a working key. If you look at this one, the lower one is impressioned. It looks like a shark bite, but if you look at the actual heights between the top key and the bottom one, that one works. It might feel a bit funny, but it turns. So that's it. And if you're good at it, you win prizes. And now it's time to do a demo, so I can shut up. Throat is killing me. Okay, I actually going to do two demos. I hope, you guys are going to see my back the most of the time, but sorry about that, because I'm going to sit down for this. And then I'm going to do the same demo again, but step by step, and I'll explain what I'm doing. So this one is just, on speed, I hope. It's good to not talk for a second. Oh, different lights. What? That's correct. It's me demoing here. So that's why I'm going to do it again. What? Whoa. Steady. That you could hear. Open. Working key. Okay, so now I'm going to do the same lock again. And at every step, I'm going to tell what I'm doing. I'm going to try to show what I'm looking at. And, I hope that's clear then. So first, I need to put in a new blank. I'm going to switch this. That looks weird now, but it'll be better once I put a key under it. That's an Abus. Normally, if you see me impressioning, that's an Abus. Okay. I put a cheapo handle on your key, so I can turn it a bit. Then, I'm going to use this special tool that will be later in the slides also. That just makes tiny scratches on it, so I know where I need to start filing. A blank key looks like this. So it's not completely... Is that anything?
Yep.
Okay. So that's without the tool. And after I yank the tool over it, you look like this. You see a dot. There's one over there. And if you go a bit further, there's one. There's the next. All right, now it's even better. See? So at that point, I haven't touched the lock yet. At that point, I know where to start filing because I know this brand of lock. So I know what the highest possible cut is. Well, if I'm done with it, yes. If they're out of the box, they're not. They're a bit higher. Okay, so now it looks like this. You see that where I filed, it's less rough. It's way finer, which is actually good because it's easier to see marks on that smooth area. Let's see. Let's try to make a good one. Yeah, I'm a bit off, but that's okay. I see on... Whoops. Where are we? There is a spot. There. I'll try to get it in focus, but it's where my cursor is now. Now you see it. You see? Okay, so at that point, I take off one depth. And I know how to take off one depth, but normally you can use K calipers to actually check how deep you are. So now, rinse and repeat. Do it again. Again on number 2.
Can you describe that step right there?
Okay. Will do. You see, there's a spot. There, there. Now you see it. Yep, it's clear. So, put it in, turn it left, up, down, up, down, up, down, turn it right, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. That's it. Yeah, I mean, it's training, no rocket science. That's your position number 1, that's position number 2, where again we see a dot. There it is. And I saw on the last position, I saw one that's not that clear. Well, actually more clear here than there. So I'm going to take off one step at number 5 and one step at number 2. And we have an open lock. Well, this doesn't get amplified, but it doesn't want to. And if you look at it closely, you'll see that the pins are actually jammed. So that one, we call that a crater mark for obvious reasons. So if I clean that up, to take just a teensy bit off, sounds neat. Well, better. Working key. So now, if this would have been a black op, I'd just give... Whoa! I'm alive! Okay, when I submitted this slide deck to DEF CON for, to put on a CD, I didn't have the... Whoa, I can lower my voice now. Sorry. Yeah, apparently. we passed that. That back. There you go. I didn't have this slide deck ready, but there is a slide deck on there. That's quite. It looks like this, but it's not complete. Because last night in my hotel room, I added quite a lot of slides. You get stupid sometimes. And what I did is to do that impressioning and to get some footage that you just saw, but took stills of it, and they're at the back of my presentation, so if you download it afterwards, then that should be viewable. Okay. Over the years, because there has been, there has been competitions longer than, well, there have been a couple of years of competitions in Germany and in the, this is working. Yeah. That's the reason. They're having a competition in Germany and in Holland. And if you look at the opening times, the best opening times during those competitions, you see a drop. So how is that possible? And that's not just because I started competing. We have better gear. And we learned and trained more. And what is the gear that you need, actually? It's not that fancy. What you need is, as a training aid, a caliper. But for that to be useful, you need to know your possible levels. Can be found online. Ollie's book has a whole chart of it. And, they should be like that. So it can be found online. I like the Hooplin on the right, because you can do it quite fast and you can put marks on it that are not as useful on a normal caliper. But you can go with a normal one, I mean, to keep the budget low, because that Hooplin is quite expensive. Whoops. Then you need file. we used several files for this, and it's I'm gonna. I think this is less feedback. It's less cozy. But. We use the guys that I know that normally use it is a Koplin cut number 4 Swiss file, and you can have several sizes of it because size does matter. Yes, it does.
Not how you use it.
That also is useful. I mean, training is training is key, but size also. So, we use this. Well, I use this. I use a rat tail, which means that it's shaped like that. You have also pipit files, and if they are more drop shaped. I personally don't like them, but I know a lot of locksmiths who swear by them. I mean, they really want that one. It's personal preferences. I go with mine. A good file is not cheap, but if you treat it well, that'll get you years and years of fun. Because I had once that a key broke off during a game, and that's weird. You don't want to have that. Nope, still don't like it. You need a vise to hold your lock. Probably a door will do also, but that's what it's there for. I didn't do nothing. Am I gone? Fuck. Aha. You can use any other device that you like, as long as it, there's a delay. Any device will do, but I use Manfrotto Super Clamps. That's the one on the right. They work for me perfect. They can swivel the way I want it. And, basically, they look the part. So that's why I have them. And they're light. So if you want to take the left one to a conference, you can't have any other luggage. And you need a shitload of blanks. Because the first time you're going to try this, you will break blanks. If you're not, you're not doing it correctly. Because training will cost you blanks, a ton of them. So get them somewhere cheap. Your local locksmith will have... This is weird. Your local locksmith will have blanks, but they're probably going to sell them to you for the normal rate that he sells cut blanks. So if you need 200 of them, it's going to be expensive. So make sure to get them somewhere else, or at least in bulk. Brass keys seem to be the best, because they make nice markings. On a steel key, so some are made of steel, you don't get markings. And if you switch to aluminum or any other lighter materials, they tend to break. So the middle of the road type, being brass, seems to work out the best. You need some form of magnification, the one I had here. This is a cheapo, nothing fancy, normal light. You can have the one on the left is quite fun for field work. It's a add-on to a mag light. That's normally, initially, that was used for geologists to look at tiny rocks. But it works with impressioning also. And there is a light box available on the bottom right. That one is actually crap, but I like the idea. It has a magnifier on top of it, and there are several switches where you can alter the light. So it has UV, normal light, LEDs, whatever. And so it's neat, but, this one isn't. And there's, just yesterday I got pictures of the toolkit, the kit from Tool, that has even another light that I never seen before, and this morning I had the first opportunity to play for it, and I like it. I'm probably not going to use it in competitions because this is fast, but for field work, yeah, I think it's maybe even better than the one with the mag light attached to it. You need some form of gripping device, because the forces you're going to put on your key, you don't want to do that by hand. You can't. There are several commercial products to actually do that. The one on the left is quite popular. I know a couple of guys who also use that. I like it also. It's light, and I like light. You can use a normal grip, and I had just had a hunk of metal with a couple of holes drilled in it. There is a lot of snake oil sales for impressioning handles, because once I got a handle that was, I don't know, 80 quid, something like that, it failed the first time I used it. I mean, there is some stuff. If it's over-engineered, at this point, you don't need it. I have a other tool that I didn't use now, because it's a visual aid that I, especially when I started training, I used a lot. I used a internal core, a cylinder, and I filed it off. The fun part is, if you stick a key in there, you can see where your where the marks should appear, because they would be in the middle of my filings. So, because normally if you file and you see a mark, you get, is that a real mark? Did I do that? Is that SUT? Is that a filing mistake? But if it's that smack in the middle of where it's supposed to be, and this visual aid helps you by the, to determine if that's the right spot, then it's probably a mark and you can file. So that's also a cheapo solution. This is a tool that was custom made by Jochtenaar. That's the tool I initially used to get the markings on the key so I know where I can start filing. Okay. Now, if you try this, when you looked at the file key that looked like if a shark took a bite of it, those edges are actually quite sharp. You will cut yourself. I mean, that's going to happen, especially if you're in a competition and it has to open now. That stuff goes wrong. I mean, one of the first competitions I entered in Germany, the first lock that I had to give back to the judges, that was red. And it was not red when I got it. It wasn't. And the files are also quite pointy. So sometimes stuff will go wrong. And on the longer term, because you are making quite a weird movement. So carpal tunnel is definitely on the horizon. That's going to happen. And you guys all be in IT, and me also. You don't really want that. Doing this after a game of golf is also not funny, because you need to turn, wiggle, and grip. That gives a lot of stress in your muscles. So I spoke with an occupational therapist, who happens to be my girlfriend, and I speak to her quite often, actually, and we figured out that if I take longer screws in my grip, because these were, initially when I got this, it was nice and smooth, because yes, it's handmade, but not by me. I took the original screws out and put these long ones in, so now I can use them as a lever. So I take one hand for the turning action, and the other hand for the up and down motion. And that's way easier. And you don't, and in that way, you don't grip it also, which releases a lot of stress. So I think that's the best way. Well, like I told you, there is a tool set on the market. It's available at the vendor area and in the Lockpick Village. This consists 70 of the... This is primarily focused on the American public, because this consists of 70 blanks that are the most common in America. And the funny part is that in America, you don't guys have that many keyways. In Europe, there's a bigger diversity. I mean, keyways goes like that. And in America, it tends to be straight down. So these probably will not fit, will not only fit the seven most popular brands that are used, but it probably will fit way more. There's a little light in there. The top one. It's a very tiny little light source with a magnifier in it. And, well, I laughed, but I never, used it in a competition or something like that. And it has a GoBed file, which is the brand I prefer, so I'm stoked about that one. And that's basically it. For more info, you can read that online also. These are the guys that really helped me, and, well, any questions? Thank you. Thank you very much.